Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we know the reality, the actuality, the truth that Jehovah Elohim is here, our Father, which art in heaven. We do not say that anymore in the strict sense of the one who John saw was upon the throne, the rainbow over his head, but that one here, even God himself, who is blessed Holy Spirit, veiled in the pillar of fire, is here to lead us into the millennium. And Lord, we feel that we have presented the truth of this very, very strongly, and we believe very accurately, so that none except those who are not ordained would have any reason to turn aside the truth, or no way, Lord, could they not see it. But we have this also to know, which is so true, that in being so strong to show forth the truth of your great presence, we could have failed in our failing to realize the great one who is present, to love and honor and to worship him in obedience to the same word that we are so zealous to set forth. We realize that the Apostle Paul was set for the defense of the gospel, and we know that at his time the gospel had been changed, and there was another Jesus substitute. There was another Holy Spirit, and yet he stood there knowing that with the defense of the gospel all else was defined and all else was in position, yet he had a relationship with you, Lord, that was tremendous. We do not claim that. We do not want that. We know Brother Branham had it, but Lord, we do want an in-depth, a deeper, not revelation so much, although that is certainly acceptable, desirable, and we could never get enough, but Lord, to be really in love with him who is present and obedient to him in all things. Help us this morning, Lord, to come closer to that place, Lord, where there is a real communication, as Brother Branham preached that last sermon, a real communion, a real rapport, a real life, Lord, walking, even as Paul said, if you live in the Spirit, see that you walk in it. That's what we want today, Lord. Help us as you've never helped us before. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. You may be seated. Now, before we go into number 18, and I've been apprised of that fact that we are at number 18, I can find a couple pages here. I know I got somewhere, should have somewhere. I want to bring to your attention understanding of what can be easily misunderstood. And here I am talking about it already, and I had it here somewhere. That's not it. Oh, here it is here. Brother Branham made a statement that I always had it incorrect in my mind because I added a couple of words to it, which evidently I must have got not necessarily some joy bells ringing out flat in my ears, but I got it wrong. Brother Branham says, and knoweth it not, in 1965, I'm only building. The hour is close at hand when you're going to see something happen. When something's going to take place in all this background here that has only been laying a foundation for a short, quick message that'll shake the whole nation. I used to quote that as a short, quick message coming out of the West. I don't know where in the world I got that, but I guess I must have got it from the devil. I don't think Brother Branham told it to me, so I got to take that back and just forget about it. He says here, I'm laying a foundation for a short, quick message that'll shake the whole nation. Why I've been picking on women, it's just been laying up here for something you could hit around the head with, even trying to tell them what's right, and I hold my hand down like this to their mouth, they spit it out, then who could blame the doctor? are you going to say at the day of judgment when the very voices that cried out against it will play the record right back in the face of the people, then how are they going to get away from it? Now, in this particular sermon here that Brother Branham preached, the Knoweth It Not, he does go into a tremendous amount of detail concerning women. And, of course, you know that the women type, of course, the church. And you can tell the hour because of Israel, and you can tell the condition of the church by reason of the women. And he says, I'm only building. The hour is close at hand when you're going to see something happen, when something is going to take place. And all this background here has only been laying a foundation for a short, quick message that will shake the whole nation. Well, now, if he's talking about the background of his entire ministry, which would encompass the church ages, well, starts in 1958, particularly with serpent seed, and goes on through to 1965, where he ends up at the West Coast. Now, if you wanted to take that as a background, you could do so. But on the other hand, this is a self-contained sermon that the brother brought under great duress, having galloped across the country and arrived at home very, very tired. And he brings forth this message of Knoweth It Not, and he is very, very explicit concerning what lies in the church as we know it today. And so therefore, when he's speaking of laying a background, it could well be that it is this message alone that he's looking back over his whole, not necessarily diatribe, but his explanation concerning women as they are, and what the portent is, and where it is going, and how it'll end up. And so it could be that he is saying here now, this background that I've been laying concerning the church, and which women represent, and we know exactly the condition the church is in by the condition of the woman. Because the book of Revelation says, thou art wretched and naked, miserable and blind, and don't even know it. And that's exactly the way the church is, and that's exactly the way the women act. And they, because they can be anointed by the Holy Spirit, and even prophesy, and do many things, which actually you would have to attribute to the Holy Ghost, they say, well, there you are. This is it. Well, it's not it. It's not it at all, because it's been manifestly demonstrated and proven through the vindicated ministry of the prophet William Branham that we are now at the place that Peter prophesies takes place immediately before the great tribulation, wherein God pours His Spirit upon all flesh, and He said, your sons and your daughters will prophesy, and upon mine also will the Spirit be born. So therefore there is nobody, including devils, and I'm speaking now of people like Judas, who can be fully incarnated even by the devil himself, or evil spirits by any number, could come forth manifesting in the church under a true anointing of the Holy Spirit and absolutely false to the Word. Because it mentions the false prophets particularly doing signs and wonders that accompany their preaching after the true prophet has come forth. Because there cannot be a false prophet until there is a true prophet. There cannot be a counterfeit unless there is a genuine. Now, if the counterfeit is the original, it is not a counterfeit. There's no way it can be. It is an original. Anything else from that point on. So Brother Branham could be talking simply about how that this sermon here is building and laying a foundation for what is coming down the road, which is that short message that was going to shake down the entire nation. Now, there's another little place here. The next Sunday morning, that was Saturday, on the next morning I preached on scientists being of the devil. And he said scientists, that's Walker was saying, they were pouring things in tubes and mixing them. You stopped the horse, raised up your hands, and began to scream, "I'll ride this trail once more." And he said the whole earth shook. Those people shook, looked up at one another, looked up at you, shrugged their shoulders, and went on with their scientific research. Now, you'll notice we go from the whole nation to the whole world. Now, the thought I want to bring to your attention so you get thoroughly disabused of what it is to be shaken is found when Brother Branham preached in Chicago after Joseph Matson-Bose had talked to Brother Branham and had received by revelation, and I will not dispute it, that when he, Bose, would be in Chicago, God would shake that city. And he was complaining to Brother Branham that the city was not shaken. And now Brother Branham is going to set the man right. So, and then I said to Brother Joseph, "Your great desire has been fulfilled, only you didn't believe. I don't believe you understood it, see. When you talk about shake a city, shake a nation, see? Shake the whole world. Doesn't matter how you put it, we're talking about shaking. That doesn't mean this here atomic fodder running around out here. That means the church. The church is the one that gets the shaking. Just not the ecclesiastical group, but the body of Christ. That's the one that shakes and gets back into line again. Did you hear what I read? Did you really hear what I read? Well, I doubt it, so I'll read it again. I don't mean you didn't hear it, but it's pretty hard to sink in. When you talk about shake a city or shaking a city, shaking a nation, shaking the world, that doesn't mean this here's atomic fodder running around out here. No great big revivals, great big to-do. That means the church. The church is the one that gets the shaking. Just not the ecclesiastical group. Now he's narrowing it down. But the real shaking comes to the body of Christ. That's the one that shakes and gets back into the line again. And they, the Chicago group, has known that to be. That they have had a real shaking in the last few years. In these last 6 or 7 years, how great men of God have come to this city and preached to the elect, and signs and wonders and miracles has taken place, till it's without an excuse. Absolutely, it's without an excuse. It's repent or perish, that's all. Now, this is talking to the church that Bose is pastoring, and those that he's having some type of fellowship or whatever you have with. Now, again, in evangelism, shaking, see, that God doesn't shake that. Hell will shake that when it receives it. But God shakes his church. One angel came to Abraham and his group up on the mountain and performed a miracle discerning the thought that was in his heart. Is that right? And Sarah on the inside, where the angels that went to Sodom had thousands down there. See? The shaking comes in the little group. You see it, Joseph? You saw Chicago got its last call. That's right. God honored you, did exactly what he said. Again, blasphemous names. Now here's the interpretation of C. The first thing that I have done, the things that have been done that has been mystical to the people. Now see, laying a foundation. Most of them. I don't mean the full gospel and saints of God, but I mean to most of the people. But you never want to look at the world, cosmos, as the message of God. When you go in, you say, like Bose said, I've always said, I had a dream years ago that God would send me to Chicago and shake Chicago for the glory of God. I said, Joseph, he's already done it. Why, he said, they haven't been shaken since Moody. I said, I'm talking about the church. That's cannon fodder out there. That's just dust of the earth. That bunch cramming through the streets, the painted Jezebels and everything. And I said, that's out there. Those big old lodges and things will crumble and fall in the streets in there. I said, he's talking about the church. The church has seen the revelation of Jesus Christ made manifest, and they recognize it. Now, how many? Now, you see what he's doing? Here's where your shaking down comes. Your shaking down is to see the revelation of Jesus Christ made manifest. Just like one God. Trinity had to run to oneness, and oneness stood there and said, well, we've had it all the time. Now, you can't have your cake and eat it. So the shaking down is shaking you out of your own thinking, out of your own status and strata, into the truth and the true ranks of Almighty God. He's talking about the church, I said. The church has seen the revelation of Jesus Christ made manifest, and they recognize it. There may not be 15 out of Chicago. Pretty big city, several million. At least 3 to 5, I don't know which. There may not be 10 in this generation out of the whole city of Chicago come forth, but you better believe it's been shaken. So I want you to know that as you read many things that Brother Branham said, you had better be very careful that you're looking at them and understanding them in the light of what I call interpreting and using the Scripture with the framework of the Scripture. In other words, you do not use reasoning. You do not think your own thoughts. You come to the place where you have the exact directive and the exact thinking upon that directive, so that your doctrine is pure, and no longer do you worship God by tradition, so that you, deceived, are rejected. Now, you can know positively, as positively as you can know, the same as I and all the rest of us, whether we are seed or not. And that is by receiving the revealed word of Almighty God and placing it continually, so there is no jarring and no conflict, because God does not contradict himself. We've learned by the rules, and I trust we stay with those rules. Now going to number 18 of the discrepancy. Seed of discrepancy. Before we begin reading, in the seed of discrepancy, now listen carefully. It is well to inform you immediately that we missed bringing to your attention a very important point that Brother Branham makes about Cain, who sets the alpha or seed principle for all ages that finally culminate in this last age of harvest, where the tares are bound together for the burning. When ecumenism finally takes over. I'll read it again. Before we begin reading in the seed of discrepancy, it is well, not only well, but it's very, very necessary to inform you immediately that we missed bringing to your attention a most important point that you must know, that Brother Branham makes about Cain, who sets the alpha or seed principle for all ages, that finally culminates in the last age when ecumenism takes over. Now, in the light of the incontrovertible fact that only two people were there at the beginning, Abel and Cain, How can two people alone account for what actually is always thought of terms or in terms of many people participating? In other words, a vast majority coming together and a few not. The answer is very simple. Abel, one man, refused to agree with Cain, one man, that they were both alike, of one source, of one God in worship, and of one problem. And therefore, of one means and reason and method of atonement of worship. If you're just alike, why would you need two or three different things? If indeed atonement was even to be considered, and why should it be on the grounds that you're fulfilling a part of God's eternal purpose as being a child of God manifested in flesh? We proved that many, many times by genealogy. When Abel, one man, refused, Cain killed him. And as far as he was concerned, the problem was solved. You heard that said? Problem was solved. He killed him. Now nobody thinks different. That does it. Now what's God going to do? He can do nothing but accept it. Because we are the children of God. That's what he said. That's why I always remember what I read to you. Eve is the mother of all living, proven scientifically. Doesn't say one thing about Adam being the father of all living. If reasoning, flattery, or coercion could not force Abel to be one with Cain, then death would solve the problem. And now Cain and God were alone and face to face. Many will come in that day and say, Lord, Lord, have we not cast out devils in thy name and done great and wonderful works? Might constituted right. Sovereignty was stripped from God and given to man. And free choice was abrogated. Yeah, they have their own kind of sovereignty. Predestination. No matter what it took, oneness, which is ecumenism, would be triumphant sooner or later and set up Satan's Eden, with Satan as his seed in control. Now, there's where you find, Brother Branham said this parable, which is really not a parable, it's an actual truth. The only parable about it is the fact that the sons of God are referred to as wheat, and the sons of the devil are referred to as tares. But sons of God are not wheat per se. I am not wheat per se. I'm a human being. I'm a man, same as you are. That's a designation. Why? Because it speaks of a harvest and garnering. Here's where the parable comes in. But the truth is, they're beings. Then there's the seed of Satan. See? And they're bundled at the harvest for the burning. The garner is swept and cleansed for the seed to be harvested and made ready for the great wedding supper. So, You see the principle that started in the beginning. It only took two of them. Twins. At the end time, there's twins again. So close that only the elect cannot be deceived. And one group of twins is very, very much in the minority. Like in the days of Noah, eight people made the ark. But in the days back there, there was maybe 5.5 billion serpent seed that bit the dust. So with this in mind, and you now have a clarity which you did not have previously, which of course is my fault, but I've taken care of it. The Word always takes care of all the problems, so we don't have to worry. We start reading again on page 1155. What happened? The church just got started out of Egypt. Now notice, the church just got started out of Egypt. And the church of the Lord Jesus Christ, the bride, for which he died, of which the apostle Paul was made the apostle to the Gentiles, just got started when Paul said, already, there's another gospel, another Jesus, another spirit. And we've got wolves in sheep clothing right now. We've got a mess. We've got divisions. So the poor infant church, which should have been a diaperless church, had to have diapers within seconds. What a mess. Church just got started out of Egypt, on its feet a few days, and what happened? Satan came along with his discrepancy in the person, the second Cain, which was Balaam. And he sowed discrepancy among them. He took them off the Word, in other words. He took them off what they were out there for. Get out of Cosmos. You're out of Egypt. Now, don't join up with anybody else. Stay separate. Don't go back. Go on. Till God puts you where you belong. In the meantime, you disassociate yourself from everybody and everything. Remember what I read the other day in Isaiah chapter 42? About the righteous servant? Verse 18, hear you deaf, and look you blind, that you may see. Well, that's quite something. How is the deaf going to hear and the blind going to see? Just because somebody says so? No, they're wretched, miserable, naked, and blind in the third chapter of Revelation, the seventh church age. Now listen, who is blind but my servant? Or deaf is my messenger that I sent? Now, this is a total blindness and a deafness that you bring on yourself, because as the womb of the mind has been entirely sewn up, pregnated by the Word so nothing else can come in, so you no longer hear or see anything but this Word. Oh, boy. I won't get sarcastic. I'll just keep reading. Who is blind but my servant? As deaf as my messenger that I sent. Who is blind as he that is perfect, has completed. You want to come to completion, maturity? Get it over with? You better go to the Word. What Word? The vindicated Word. Nothing but the vindicated Word till that's all you know. When somebody says something, you can't help it. You just know what you know. Seeing many things that thou observest not. Opening the ears, but he heareth not. The Lord is well pleased for his righteousness' sake. Now that's a perfect picture of 1 John 3, Cain and Abel. You couldn't fool with Abel for 15 seconds. He said, kill me if that's what you got in your heart and that's what's supposed to happen. Go ahead and kill me. Nothing to what you're saying, Cain. You're crazy. You're a serpent seed. You couldn't sidetrack that fella if you tried. The Lord's wild priest for his righteousness' sake. See? Abel was righteous. On what grounds? Receiving the word. And believing it. And only the seed can do that. The other fella couldn't. He put it down to anything he wanted to put it down to, as every imagination went to. He will magnify the law and make it honorable. In other words, he'll put the word of God ahead of everything and he'll be obedient to it. He'll live in the Spirit. He will walk in the Spirit. Same thing I read you over here in the book of Romans. Abraham, the father of faith, who believed God. And it says, as it's written, verse 17, I have made thee a father of many nations. True, he was. Didn't matter that the fellow was a dry stick, seminally speaking, dead. Truthfully speaking, his wife was dead. What did that matter? What did that have to do with the Word of God? Blind to it. I'll prove it to you. Even before him whom he believed, even God, who quickens the dead and calls those things which are not as though they were, who when hope was gone, hoped on in faith that he might become exactly what God said he was already. According to that which is spoken, so shall thy seed be. And being not weak in faith, he did not observe or consider, which means to observe his body. He was blind to it. Abraham, you poor old fool, close to 100 years old, your wife 90. What is all this tripe for heaven's sake about you going to be a father of nations? Look at yourself. He said, what's to look? Well, can't you see it'll never happen? He says, who says? I've got a different word. Oh, that guy had spiritual guts. I like him. You know, it's easy to talk about him, but it sure is mischief to try to approximate him. He just stood there. I can imagine him saying at the gate, Father of nations, how many sons did you have? Didn't have one except by Hagar, and that doesn't count. Man, you call yourself a father of nations? Yep. That's what God said I was. If God said I was, that's what I am. If God says I'm righteous, I'm righteous. God says I'm seed, I'm seed. Abraham didn't feel like a father of nations. He didn't have any sexual feelings. How could he? So he didn't even bother entertaining the thought in his little pea brain. Most men would at least entertain the thought. The idea was father of nations. Didn't care two bits about sex. If they had to get them, dig them under the gooseberry bush or how they came, wouldn't matter to him. He's going to be a father of nations. He never observed and took time of looking at his body, his wife's body, or anything else, going to the doctor, making measurements, taking temperatures, everything else. He said, forget it. God said, I'm a father of nations. That takes care of it. You watch and see. So, the church got out of Egypt and began looking around. The church got out of heathenism and began looking around. And William Branham called out about 4 million in the Pentecost and began looking around. What do you want to look around for? That's it, not Shelley and his tripe
And he's can clapping these guys down south. And I'm a gutter preacher and I don't give rip for him. If you're so sweet, get out of here. I don't need you. I don't even want you. Don't get mad at the milkman and these guys out here. You reserve your anger for it. That which is against the word. You run around the world. Look at that. Look at it. Look at it. Don't get your eyes off it. Well, Brother Vail, I had a vision. I can give you 2 bits for your cotton picking vision. Well, Brother Vail, I prayed for the sick. Well, you prayed for the sick. What's that got to do with it? I have to tell people, just get out of the way and I'll pray for you. Put it all on me. I'd put it all on Christ and the work would be done. What? How many brownie points do I get for that? None. Because the voice inside said, if you ever listen to a man, that's the man you'll listen to. And the flesh wanted to give way and say, Brother Branham, I don't think I can take it. The typo said, when was he ever wrong? Out of thousands and thousands of times, when was he ever wrong? When did it ever fail? The righteous servant is blind to everything but the eye of God, which is the last moving part of the body. The prophet looking beyond the curtain of time and bringing us the word for our mind, which the Spirit takes, runs through the mind down into the heart. That's why you got a spirit. It's a candle, Lord, search inward parts of the belly. Hey, what happened? Church just got started out of Egypt. On his feet a few days and what happened? Satan come along with a discrepancy in that person, the second king, which was Balaam. Balaam, the old ecumenical buzzard. And he sowed discrepancy among the children of Israel. We know that's right. That Balaam, the teaching of Balaam, they were all the same. We serve the same God you do. Fundamentally, he was right. I don't care how fundamental the Pentecostals are, they're wrong. They're wrong. As long as they got one bobbed-haired woman, slack-wearing, flusy, high-heeled, slippered, song-leading, spiritual prostitute, they're wrong. See, Brother Vail, you're not nice. I didn't say I was nice, but the Bible says a little leaven leavens the whole lump. You do what you want with it. You're so superior, so wonderful. Oh, let it go, Brother Vail. I let it go like fun. I'll let it go. You let it go. My soul requires more than what Pentecostals can give me. But it doesn't require one more than what he gave me. No. In fact, it hasn't even begun to get saturated. She must be wearing an umbrella somewhere. We're all the same. We serve the same God. You do. Fundamentally, he was right because he offered a sacrifice that God offered. In other words, God ordained. 7 rams, 7 bullocks, 7 altars. Prayed to the same God just as perfectly as Moses did down in the wilderness. Just exactly the same. But they, Moses and Balaam, were not the same. Foreshadowing to us what would come to pass. When Malachi chapter 4, the prophet Elijah of this hour would come to her. There was again Cain, a Satan seed, manifested in the person of Balaam. You know, that's simple as ABC. Let me ask you a question. Where in the name of common sense did this buzzard come from except from the loins of Cain? Well, come on, he's a little Cain. He's part of the breed. Now, I'll tell you something. I enjoy watching buzzards soar. They're marvelous the way they can tip their wings and soar. But I'm going to get near one of those buzzards and puke on me. I ain't going to join them. I'm just going to watch them. I don't care how pretty he soars. I know when he comes down, he's going to head for the roadkill. He's going to go back to Pentecostal roadkill. So, well, let's keep reading. They weren't the same. And there was Cain manifested in the person of Balaam, and there was God. Oh, this is dynamite. This is sacrilegious. Oh, I could never take this. Oh, yeah? There was God manifested in the person of Moses, interpreting his words through a human being, making himself known, his promise through a human being. And the discrepancy raised up and said, hogwash. What are you trying to tell us that you've got a real vindicated revelation? We can do the same things you can do. We got the same altars. We got the same sacrifice. We got the same Bible. We're all the same. And here you are trying to separate yourself, you two-bit, tin-horn little ninnies, you cult. Now, oh my, that makes some people feel so bad. I'm a cult and I don't give a rip. And the funny thing is, the word cult is a good word. It's not what a bunch of jackasses out there make it to be. Ha! Three gods. A bunch of infidel idolaters. A son called Jesus with two fathers. Raised up a high priest and called of God a man, and the world makes him the God, Christ Jesus. They can't even read. And I'm a cult and they can't even read? Well, they can breed like flies with their false doctrines and dogmas and their Beatles psalms from hell. Do you think for one minute they believed that God was really in Moses? Oh, well, perhaps in Moses. What about Paul? Oh, no. He was in the desert and God stood there and Moses and Paul stood there and they had a chit-chat and a couple of scones and a cup of tea and God told Paul a few things and Paul told us a few things and now, yeah, hallelujah. I got news for you. Paul said God was in the prophets. Well, now, yet the same people say, well, God's in me. You talk about insufferable impertinence. The braying of an ass that is supposed to sound like the lion. I'm in good fettle this morning. I know the language. Don't worry. I'm not 81 years old for nothing. I know what goes on. And don't tell me I don't know. I can smell it down the road. God manifested in the person of Moses, interpreting his words through a human being, making himself known according to the contract that God made with the people, and the people reneged and God didn't, and he held their nose to the grindstone. And the sparks of hell flew. And that's what hell is made of, the sparks. God takes his word and holds it right there, and you try to change it for one split second. The Pentecostal arm benders, I'm going to fast and pray, and I'm going to make God do it. Watch how lean your soul would get before too long. Show my soul's fat, brother, but you. Go ahead. Do anything you want about it. I can show you scripture you're wrong, you still won't believe it. Huh? You think I can? Oh, come on. I've done it for the last 30 solid years. His promise through a human being, I'm going to go down four generations and bring you up with a high hand. And the discrepancy raised up and said, now listen, just a minute, let's not get too tight with this thing here. Because even though you have come out after four generations, you notice us, we've been out all the time. And I can hear the bunch from Canada and all over. Mealy Mouth. He's been here all the time. That's a lie from the pit of hell. He hasn't been here since the time of Paul for 2,000 years. Olivia's got that bad spirit. You're darn tootin', I got it. Because I am not an ecumenical person, and I will not join their tripe. He hasn't been here since the time of Paul. It's on tape. The tape was sent to me personally that Perry Green stole and took around the world, and I thank him for it. Yeah. Think it over. So did it do in the time of Judas. There he came with his discrepancy. When? When this prophet, like unto Moses, indwelt by God, vindicated by God, was bringing the true interpretation of that word, and Judas rose up with the discrepancy. Judas was an ecumenical bird, a buzzard. Jesus said, have I not chosen you 12, and one of you is the devil, Diabolus? Well, I could be a devil in this pulpit this morning. An angel of light. So called. If the prophet didn't lie, I certainly am not. I've never taken you off the word, always taken you to the word. If I make a mistake, I come right back, we correct it. Because the word always corrects the error. Judas the ecumenical buzzard. Oh, he seemed to fly like an eagle. He healed the sick and raised the dead. Yeah. Right out there confessing and testifying, this is the Son of God. Brother Branham said he just thought that he believed it. Now examine your souls this morning. Do you think you just believe this, or are you stuck? Or could I entice you to some movie or something? Could I entice you to some literature? What would it take to get you off this word? Well, if you're on it, ain't nothing going to ever get you off it. And remember, this sin that those people believed, that we're all the same, we worship the same God, we should all belong to the same church. And that's what the Pope is saying right now. Brother Branham was not here when the present Pope said it. We should be the same people. That sin was never forgiven Israel. So, Brother Vail, I just don't understand that. Now, just a minute, Brother Vail. Why? Shut up! What did God do? He brought him out. He destroyed their enemy. He said, don't ever do this. Don't you have a thing to do with those people. And when you get to the promised land, you kill every one of them and get rid of every one of them, lest they contaminate you. And take not to yourselves many wives. Watch the women. Because you just may be a stinking buzzard instead of an eagle. I haven't heard any shortage of buzzard eggs, but I've heard a lot of shortage of eagle eggs. Eagles in America need a special dispensation of conservation to bring them back, and so did the bride. God never forgave Israel. And he's not going to forgive any person that's joined the ecumenical move. There cannot be forgiveness for them because they have joined up with the devil. They are espousing the devil's counsels. God said, come now, let us reason together. And the reasoning of God is, shut up, sit down, listen to me, and believe it, and everything would be just great. The devil came by like he came to Eve and said, now don't you believe it. There's other things you should think about beside that. You tell me one thing I should think about beside the word that vindicated prophet gave me. God's own word. God coming down, indwelling the prophet. God vindicating himself to the prophet. The prophet to us vindicating the word. And here I am in the state of perfection. Jesus said himself, they're all dead. They perished, all but three of them. That's Moses, Joshua, and Caleb. There'd be actually only two you can consider, and that's Joshua and Caleb. They went and spied the land out. When the weakling said, we cannot take the land, it's too much for us, and so forth, Caleb and Joshua still good people and said, we're more than able to take it because God promised it to us. I don't care what the opposition is. So therefore, the opposition is the ecumenical principle, where people try to soft soap you. And if they can't soft soap you, they ostracize you, criticize you, make fun of you, the big sneer. And if the time comes and it's just right, they'll kill you. Yeah, exactly. All through the ages. No matter the opposition, never forget the 8th chapter of the book of Romans. And Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? That's the true baptism with the Holy Ghost. Shall tribulation, distress, or persecution, famine, nakedness, peril, or sword? No. It's written, we're killed all the day long, we're sheep for the slaughter, and all these things we're more than conquer. We'll take the land, we're going in, we're part of the kingdom, near New Jerusalem, here I come. I am persuaded. I won't squawk on my deathbed. I won't have any doubts or fears. I'm one of those righteous servants that's blind and deaf to everything but the Word. My feelings don't count. My experiences don't count. My sins don't count. Only one thing counts. He said, you're the righteous, sinless bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. You didn't even do it in the first place. Nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, things to come, height nor depth, no creation is able to separate us from the true baptism with the Holy Ghost, the indwelling of Christ himself, and a part of the blessed bride, the body of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he said, I say the truth in Christ, I lie not. My conscience bears me witness, this is the way it is. All right. I don't care what the opposition is. And we can still preach divine healing and the baptism of the Holy Ghost and still have the power of God to separate us from the things of the world. God said so. The apostolic age has never ceased and it will not cease. It goes on. In other words, it is not only a vindicated word that has come to us, but it is a living word that separates us and helps us, causing us to live differently, to examine the truth, and then to walk in the light, as Paul said, if you live in the Spirit, see that you walk in it. Now remember, The baptism with the Holy Ghost only lasts until this age. It could be over by now. I do not know. I cannot say. But I know that the baptizer himself is here, giving us the true revelation that escaped in the first age that was given to Paul. I don't care what your background is. I don't care what you've done. I've had a ministry too, back in Latter-day, Pentecost, absolutely. People that didn't know anybody called me a second Branham. Very flattering, but very unholy. That's because I discerned, prayed for sick, everything else. Prophesied right down the line. Everything I shouldn't do, I did. God forgave me. Of course he forgives. Forgave Paul, didn't he? So I'd have a thing to do with those things. Still pray for the sick. People still get healed. One or two here, one or two there. I don't claim a healing ministry. Just pray for sick, that's all. Who knows that? Who needs any more? The apostolic age has never ceased. It's going to go on until the last one's in. And child trained. Then there'll be a resurrection. The spirit that's in our midst will become incarnate to us at the wedding supper. And that's it. All right. Back on page 9, paragraph 46, it says, and he came over and he said, Mr. Branham, I believe you're sincere, you're honest, but you're trying to introduce to the world an apostolic doctrine. The apostolic age ceased with the apostles. I said, the first thing I'd like to ask you, my brother, do you believe every word of God's inspired? He said, I certainly do, sir. I said, then will you show me in the word where the apostolic age ceased? Now you show me where it is, I'll believe with you. And I said, the right of the apostolic age and had the one that had the keys to the kingdom on the day of Pentecost, when the apostolic age was introduced, answered the people that day and said, men and brethren, when they said, what can we do to be saved? He said, repent everyone and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ, remission of sin. Receive the gift of the Holy Ghost, the promised unto you and to your children all that's far off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Now how can the word of God contradict itself? He said, I got an awful cold. I said, yeah, I think so too. So we find, this is number 60 paragraph, we find the same old sort of discrepancy. In other words, there's a pattern that never changes. The Alpha and Omega pattern. When it starts as A and ends in Z. And by the time Alpha goes to Z, every letter of the alphabet is in there, and every word that can be conceived is in there. So by the time that you get from A to Z with God, there isn't one thing missing, period. And it's all perfectly 100% right. And by the time you get from A to Z with the serpent seed, there is 100% error. And there isn't one thing right. Satan's kingdom is not just one word off now, it's all off. So we find the same old sore discrepancy. And remember, that sin was never forgiven. Now, brother, if it was never forgiven then, what about now when the real seed of all ages are coming together, like it's in Malachi 4? And what does Malachi 4 and 1 say? They're all going to burn, leaving neither root nor branch. Doesn't say that about wheat. Says that about tares. Says that about tares. The wheat is gathered in the garner for preservation. See, gathered right to Christ, right through the Word. First resurrection. Number 61 paragraph, page 11. Notice, this great thing that Balaam did, it went on and finally ended in the coming of Judas Iscariot and Jesus. What was it? Judas and Jesus were exactly just a figure of Cain and Abel. For as Judas was religious, so was Cain religious. Cain built an altar, made a sacrifice, worshiped God. He was just as sincere in it as the other one was. But you see, he didn't have the revelation of what the word was. He thought it was Adam and Eve and eating some apple or some fruit. Abel by revelation knew that was wrong. It was the blood that brought them out, and he offered a lamb. And God testified this offering was right. And that's the same. Israel came out under the blood. What did they do? Then they say, well, let's go to these phony baloney buzzards with the word they got. Why, it's the same God. And it's the truth. They've been out here having a great time while we were down there having a horrible time. You know, one day old David got upset. He began looking around at all the wicked spreading like the green bay tree. And he began to look around. He said, well, God, what is this anyway? He should have looked at the fact he did some pretty sleazy things, and he wouldn't have asked the question. But he forgot about the sleazy things he did. I guess he got pretty run down within him soul, like he said, soul, why art thou disquieted in me? You know, what's your trouble? He said, I began to look around, and I saw these wicked people spreading like the green bay tree. I went to God, and I got an answer, and I saw their end. He said, I saw where I'm going, I saw where they were going. He said, I saw the harvest, and it was all over. Now, brother, we're sister, we're at the end of the harvest now. Then he got jealous and tried to kill his brother, and he killed his brother upon the same altar that his sacrifice died on. That's Abel's that sacrificed the lamb. The lamb died upon the altar. So did Judas Iscariot betray Jesus Christ upon the altar of God. It's commonly said that Jesus was the altar of God. And killed him just as Cain killed Abel, because Cain was the seed of discrepancy. Jesus said, you are of your father the devil, the works of your father you do. And 1 John 3:12 says, Cain was of that wicked one. He was actually sired of him and bred of him down through the ages. Oh, the modern Pentecost, he'll change that and say, oh, no, that doesn't mean that at all. He's going to find out shortly. He's another bird that can't even read. Those are those Canadian fellows that think they're so smart, they're so sharp. They went against the Church Age book on cellular therapy within less than three months. Time magazine had about 30 pages of it on cellular therapy. Now, everything is cellular therapy. That's why they want to have the fetuses just exactly right. So now they're going to be able to take part of the fetus. So they'll have abortions, abortion mills just set up nicely so that men and women can get a part of that fetus and renew you. Oh, you smart Pentecostal asses. You're smart, all right. You think your lines, you bray-legged donkeys. Especially those Canadians of the East Coast. Don't tell me to shut up because I'm a Canadian by birth. I'm a Yankee by choice, and I'll die that way. By the grace of God, don't even link me to Canada. Don't try it. They were Antichrist before America ever thought of it. Ecumenical. They're the original Christian Commonwealth Federation, a church political party. Socialistic in intent. Where are they today? If I have nothing can contempt and you don't like it, I'm sorry for you. I have my contempt. Let God rebuke me. And so was Balaam the hireling prophet. The hireling prophet. Let's find out about that buzzard. That's what he was, a buzzard. He's over here in Numbers. And I'm going to look at about the 22nd chapter. And the 7th verse. And it says, and the elders of Moab and the elders of Midian. Now these are the incestuous, they're the children by incest of Lot and his two daughters. Boy, have we got some great lineage to look at here. They tell me incest is legitimate in Australia. My God, I hope not, but I'm sure I read that in Dr. Dobson's magazine. They didn't care if you do it. You know, child molestation is bad enough. So here are these ones born of incest. They came and departed with the rewards of divination in their hand. The rewards of divination. In other words, they couldn't tell the true moving of the Holy Ghost from the moving of the devil. And here Balaam was moving right along with the devil because he was a buzzard. Looked just identical. And he had a good story. Oh, we love God and He loves us. Notice we've been at her all these 400 years. Yeah. Oh, He's a good God. He forgives everything. Now, incest isn't the way to go, but it's all right. Hey, here we are. Look at it. Must have been the right thing because here we are. Divination. Diviners. Using bones. Dice. Tin money. Anything. Sand. They sit back and read it. Tea leaves. Means no more than nothing. You know why? It's not in that. It's up here where the devil is. Perched right at the top of the medulla oblongata. I just kidded about that. Right at the top of your spirit and your mind coming together. Okay. Where are we? We're over here in Numbers 23 and 23. Let's read that one. Here these buzzards are again. Surely there is no enchantment against Jacob, neither is there any divination against Israel. Now these guys were hot stuff. They actually pulled rabbits out of the hat. They had connection with the devil. Supernatural things could happen. There's no doubt about it. And they come back. And the same bunch of buzzers got to say, listen, William Branham was off the word. No two ways about it. The guy was off the word, but there's one thing about him. Never did he make a mistake in discerning and as a prophet. Cut your... right there, cut their throats. I hope they didn't have white shirts. Well, just be red from that time on. Hireling prophet. Preaching for money. Trying to build a church to get a lot of people. Get a lot of people, a lot of money comes in, the preacher counts it his own. Well, if I'd have counted all the money that came in here as my own, I'd have, I don't know what I'd have, but I'd sure have a bank account to beat all of you put together. But we've sent out hundreds of thousands of dollars. And we're still looking for someone to help. I don't count it my money because it's not my money. I'm running scared right now. You people aren't my people. You say, well, I'm Brother McCrae's. You're not his either. Well, you could be our people. But I'm going to tell you one thing. As far as I'm concerned, forget it. I'm going to disown you. You better be God's people. You better be God's people. Hireling prophet, a man who ought to have known better, and God warned him through signs and wonders, and even a mule speaking in unknown tongues, and still he went right on just the same, and that's a fact. Vindicated William Branham, called their bluff, bring it right down the line, they went on just the same. Not one came down, was rebaptized in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now with him dead, oh my, are they happy. They pay ring around the rosy around his tombstone. Oh, they have fun. I imagine I could even persuade some to bring a few dead cats on Halloween night and throw them on the tombstone. Now that was bitterly sarcastic. And I'm not going to take it back. Of course they're not going to do it. I'm talking about the spirit behind it. That's a Judas spirit, a devil, a killer. What do you think anyway? Do you think the devil's not going to take that whole bunch over and make them killers? Read the 13th chapter of Revelation and smarten up. That's the Bible. That's the conclusion of Genesis. He was born to be a sower of discrepancy. Yeah. Oh, yes, they don't want that. They don't want sovereignty. They don't want you to be foreknown in Christ. They just want it to be that the thing was worked out there.
And now that the whole thing was worked out, you can walk in. Hey, fine. Hogwash. 9th chapter of the book of Romans. Great book. Who says, who are Israelites? To whom pertained the adoption, the glory, the covenants, the giving of the law, the service of God, the promises? Whose are the fathers, and of whom are, as concerning the flesh, Christ came, who is over all, God blessed forever. What more do you want than that? Now listen, not as though the word of God had taken none effect, for they are not all Israel which are of Israel. Yeah. They weren't the true Israelites. Neither because are they the seed of Abraham, are they the children of Abraham. But in Isaac shall thy seed be called. That is, they which are the children of the flesh, these are not the children of God. 15 million people born after the flesh, just simple sexual desire. 35 from the same simple sexual desire brings forth reality. Because no child is born without sexual desire, it just isn't possible. No, that is, they which are the children of the flesh, they're not the children of God, but the children of the promise are accounted for the seed. For this is the word of promise, at this time when I come, and Sarah shall have a son, and that takes care of it. Everything in order, everything in place. And now it is when Rebekah had conceived by one, even our father Isaac, the children not even being yet born, neither having done good or evil, but the purpose of God, according to election, might stand, not of works, but of him that calleth. It was said unto her, the elder shall serve the younger. As it's written, Jacob I loved, Esau I hated. Now you can't tell people that really means that. No, that doesn't really mean that. That's just illustrating. It's not illustrating, it's the truth. If you weren't the seed of God in the first place, you're not now. If you're a buzzard, you'll enjoy floating around. Have fun. But it's going to catch up. Many will come in that day. What shall we say then? Is there unrighteousness with God? God forbid. What do you mean God forbid? God forbid you say such a stupid thing. For he said to Moses, I will have mercy on whom I will have mercy, and compassionate whom I will compassionate. And then it's not of him the will, of him the runner, but God that showeth mercy. But for the scripture saith unto Pharaoh, even for this same purpose have I raised thee up. Now where did Pharaoh come from? Maybe 100 generations back. Came right from Cain. All serpent seed passed through Pharaoh. That I might show my power in thee, and that my name might be declared through all the earth. It sure still is right now today. Therefore hath he mercy on whom he will have mercy, and whom he will he hardeneth. Thou wilt then say to me, what? Why doth he yet find fault? For who resisted his will? Nay, but, O man, who are you that replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him, the former, why have you made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor, another dishonor? See, there you are. That's election. The devil's seed and God's seed floating around in humanity, one lump. Poor old Isaac, how did he feel like having the right wife and him the right one? And he's got one son that God hates and one that God loves. And the funny thing is, poor old Isaac loves the one that God hates. Boy, did God slap him around. Old Jacob comes in because his mother says, now look, son, Esau's a hairy old boy, and we'll just put some hairy gloves on you, and, you know, we'll fool the old man, you know, because he's getting old, and he's so dotey on that son, he's going to give him the birthright. Now, when did God ever stand behind a lying collusion? So here's old Isaac. He's all jittery and all blind and confused. He said, it's a voice of Jacob, but he said, it's a hand of Esau. I just can't quite figure this thing out. He said, where's that good stew that you make? He said, here it is, Father. Oh, he said, that's delicious stew. I love it. Yeah, he said, okay, I'm ready to bless. So he went ahead and blessed. Now Esau comes on and old Isaac begins to tremble. My God, does he tremble. And he said, who then did I bless? Did that supplanter Jacob, did he take this all away what I wanted for you?
And then he said, and he shall be blessed. Because he was a prophet and he couldn't say anything but what God wanted him to say and made him say. And I'm going to tell you, his wife was a stupid idiot to do what she did in my books. Because the minute that Jacob would have come under his dad's hands, his dad would have trembled, he would have fumbled, he would have stuttered, he would have screamed, he would have jumped, he'd have been a Pentecostal hoot owl, acting like a buzzard. But the old ego would have come forth and blessed the boy. How can you curse what God has blessed? How can you not bless what God has blessed? See, even these birds, eagles acting like buzzards. You don't have to be stupid with God, and I don't have to be stupid with God. Hey, it's settled. Well, I'm going to start to feel good about it. Oh, shut up, for Pete's sake. Go and get yourself an ice cream cone. You know, I don't have anything to do but believe it. Blind and deaf and dumb to everything else, the same as good old Abraham was. And we're the children of Abraham. We're the children of the prophets. The prophets had the word in their mouth. And of course it went to the spirit and the mind and down in here, and you couldn't get those eagles to move. Oh, brother, sister, you put them on the hot seat, didn't mean a thing. They said, kill us, it's okay. Whatever you do, it's fine. God's going to give us victory. God's going to give me the strength to stand everything you can pour on me. And the second chapter of 2 Peter tells you flat that serpent seed bunch end up as natural brute beasts made to be taken and destroyed. And those amongst them that think they're religious, the buzzards that try to be the eagles, that try to scream like the eagle, that try to partake of a word they have no part in, their day is going to come, and as dogs return to the vomit. And they're doing it every place I look around. If William Branham stood there in the pulpit and said, I hear 10,000 believe this message, got to shake them off, could a quarter million believe? Just ask the question. He was born. Balaam was born. Foreknown. Predestinated to what he was. And if Jesus predicted this age to end up in the greatest discrepancy that ever was, the Laodicean church lukewarm, and they put him out of the church, how can it be anything else but that discrepancy? It can't be anything else, because there aren't a bunch of seeds being sown. The book of Genesis sowed every single seed. That's it. And what you see at the end time is exactly what happened in the Garden of Eden. Eve the mother, but Adam not the father. Adam carried in his loins the very life and souls that God had predestinated. Do you think people believe that except a few clowns like us? We believe because we are eagles. All right, Bob, time to quit. Says right here, time to quit. How can anything else but that same discrepancy? Certainly it is. It ends in that age. And it was Cain and Abel again on Calvary. All right, I'm going to write down where it says here. We'll see what happens next Sunday morning. That's going to be December. All right. I hope you learned a lot this morning and got way down deep within you, because I'm going to tell you something. There's only one true word. There aren't two or three of them. There's a million takeoffs on the Bible, million discrepancies, but there is one truth, and we have it. It's recorded. Nobody can change it. The devil can't do one thing about it. No way, shape, and form, because God's going to perform every single iota to the last living breath in you and me. Let's rise and be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you again for the privilege we've had of gathering ourselves together to study your word, to listen, Lord, to it. And I trust that the listening has not been in vain, based upon the hope that I have that the saying has not been
in vain in the sense that anything is remiss whatsoever that has been spoken to the people, as we've taken it word by word to see that the great discrepancy of this hour is to look at the fundamental, to look at this, to look at that, and as the rapid to go back in the same hole he came out of, the people to turn back to the ecumenical thesis that is in the world today, wherein the Pope has already proclaimed himself the head of the three monotheistic religions. All of these things, Lord, we understand and know by your grace. And now we pray, Father, that we'll know you as you've never known you previously. Grant your own life, your own anointing. You, the great anointer, anoint our minds and our spirits and our souls as never before with the revelation of thy dear, sweet, wonderful self and the love of God shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Ghost through the conduit word. And we, Lord, walk in the spirit that we live in. This is what we desire, and this is what we're looking for. And somehow it's got to be. We're not dissatisfied, Lord, with the things you do for us. I know our dissatisfaction lies within ourselves. We're not ashamed of you, Lord. We're ashamed of ourselves. But all these things must go. We must rise with the tide, the prevailing winds that are now sweeping the eagles upward, where the buzzards and hawks cannot come, where life abundant lies at the great wedding supper, when that Spirit, you yourself, Elohim, Jehovah Elohim, becomes incarnate in that one, the Lord Jesus Christ. And we crown you King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And we understand and know as never before and enter into the glory of our Lord. Stepping stone, an open door to what is further there. Heal the sick amongst us, we pray, O Lord. Help each one to have the strength each one has need of. And grace in every time of need. We know it's there. Just may we be aware of it. We commend ourselves to you in the name of Jesus Christ. Now unto the King eternal, immortal, invisible, the only wise God, the all power, honor and glory through him, the Lord Jesus Christ, our blessed Savior, whom we adore. Amen and amen.